Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, welcome to Keep the Ball on the Ground. What's happening, lads? All right?
Not bad, mate.
I'm good, mate. Good.
Seem a bit flat.
Mad all, lads, all three are a bit flat for different reasons.
What's your reason? By the way, people are starting rumours that you're wearing a hat because you've had the transplant. Is that true?
Does it look as if I've had a fucking transplant?
No. What's with the hats?
Tell them how cold it is in here. It's freezing in here. There's a polar bear behind that couch, you know?
Shaking.
It's fucking, it's so cold.
The madman's not here either.
I wonder why, yeah. Maybe the pressure's got to him having to talk about his beloved Celtic.
Says he's sick, but it's definitely not an illness he's sick for, is it?
Nah.
He's got Celticitis.
Pig sick.
Well,
pig
by the way, Paul O'Tim was in handcuffs last night.
You're kidding.
But nothing to do with the protest. Oh, he's a maverick, isn't he? He thinks he's Edward, didn't he? Like, he's the best player here, but he just turns up when he likes. He does what he wants. Nedward, we'll call him.
Edward.
I went for a coffee with him the other day, right, to Starbucks. And I said, tell the woman what you want. It was a drive-thru. And he's like, can I get a latte and a ham and cheese croissant?
Croissant?
Croissant.
That sums him up. And I say finishing.
You ever notice it? When you notice, sorry, when he's talking in the conversations and he'll say words that he means the right word, but he says it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, say, like, oh, I've written something down here. He'll write, I've wrote something down here. You're
some like,
what are you talking about?
He phoned me after the date the other day.
How did it go?
He was happy with himself.
Was he horny?
He said the day was brilliant, but the night was better, so I don't know what he meant by that. We should see. I'll get some info.
I'll be coming at it soon, it should be good. Right, before we start, request the help of the Open Goal fan base. Here we go, get that board up, lads. Glasgow Times toy bank appeal. Obviously, it's been a tough year for everyone. We want to make sure that every kid wakes up with a toy on Christmas Day.
Absolutely, didn't sorry. Because there's kids out there less fortunate than some side, and anybody who's in a fortunate enough position to try and help out, please do, because I've got own kids, we've all got kids apart from Andy, that'll come to him in due course.
But I've just got Slaney.
But it'd be nice for every kid to try and wake up on Christmas Day with something that, from Santa, would be amazing.
Yeah, by the way, when you're feeling down about the football.
I know, mate. There's many things to
realise, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Well said, Andrew.
Good point.
Please support the campaign. Pick up a copy of the Glasgow Times on the 4th of December. Full details, visit www.glasgowtimes.co.uk/bankers. Brilliant.
Super. Well
done, used to.
Fire, mate.
You're good at it. I'd rather you took your tops off to do that, eh?
Right, you put Slaney's jacket on.
Oh, by the way, do you know what somebody called him? Beatlesness.
I heard somebody call Lenny Snus Hiddink last night.
Oh, Twitter can be a horrible place, but it's funny as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Right, lads, you ready for us?
Aye.
Okay, we'll start with you. Another bad result for Celtic. What'd you make of the game?
Honking. See, to be fair,
why are you honking?
Just, in fact, no, let's rephrase that. It was a poor result, but first and foremost, let's not take away from how well Ross County actually did. I know we're going to talk about Celtic and how bad they are, but Ross County came with a game plan, stuck with it, managed to catch Celtic on the break, get a second goal late on, and probably deserved the... to get the next round of the cup. Celtic are just in, like, I think if you really, really break it down, sadly, you kind of expected an upset yesterday because Celtic aren't playing particularly well. They haven't been playing particularly well, not just this season, but the back end of last season. And I think it's just a continuation of a poor performance from the players week in, week out. It's not getting any easier. We talked a few weeks back about how well they played at Aberdeen. See, really, I think we overpraised them. They played well for Aberdeen for about maybe half an hour.
What was that, the cup game?
When they drew 3-3.
No, it was a Hampden one the week after, wasn't it?
The Hampden one at Pittodrie. They drew 3-3.
Yeah.
They played well for like maybe 20 minutes, half an hour in the game. It's not as if they were brilliant for 90 minutes. So for me, Si, they're next fixture, St Johnson. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I just think something needs to change. What that is, only we can all have an opinion, but ultimately something has to give somewhere because it's just not happening now.
Well, a player needs to take it upon themselves to try something different. Yesterday it's just side to side, isn't it? Crossing the ball for 30 yards. You need to do more than that if you're a Celtic player now.
Like watching the game yesterday, listen, see if a team wins 2-9, you shouldn't be shocked if they lose, but I was shocked yesterday. Aye. Watching the game, I was shocked because... Listen, it goes without saying, the gulf in quality between Celtic's players and Ross County's players is massive. Ross County just lost last week to Kilmarnock after being down to 10 men for 80 minutes in the game.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the game yesterday, and for me, I'm not saying he was brilliant. Celtic fans might think he was rubbish. But Tom Rodgett looks as if he's won. He's still trying to unlock the door. He's still trying to make things happen. He arguably creates Celtic's two best chances in the game with Ayeti. And listen, see if you're flying and everything's gone for you every week. Ayeti hits inside the post, spins into the bottom corner. But out with that, you've got to say, even when Ross County went 1-0 down, didn't he feel like Celtic were battering the door down to score, bombarding them with chances? So like, everybody's talking about Celtic defensively, and 23 goals in 10, so obviously they're fragile at the back. But yesterday, I was shocked at how sort of toothless they were. They weren't smashing Ross County's door in with constant balls into the box, shots on goal. Laidlaw hardly made I don't think he made a difficult save the full game.
But I also think it's not just on the ball, off the ball, they're so bad. See, if you are going to get teams to camp in at Celtic Park, when you lose it, you need to get back quick.
Yep.
Celtic do not do that.
No. See,
and all it takes is one ball up the pitch, and Ross Stewart against three defenders is the first to get a hold of it every time.
Aye.
He falls over, he gets fouls, that slows the game down. See, when you're at Celtic Park as an opposition player, Rangers is the same. The one thing you want, mate, is the game to be slow and pass it in front. You need to quicken things up. And it doesn't help, help when guys like Julian at 6'4" are down for 5 minutes holding his face because somebody's barged into him.
I think his name's Julie. Big Julie. But when you're talking about, I've talked about it for weeks, where the pass, by the time they actually go to attack, everybody's sat and it becomes difficult. Are they scared to make that killer pass or try that killer pass?
But why? There's no fans.
No, but what I'm asking is, are they scared to do it because of how vulnerable it are at the back? Are they scared to make a mistake that, if we lose it, they might go and score? Because I don't think there's a confidence between the midfield and the back three, back four, whatever it is they play each week. Because the quality and the level, the way they're leaking goals, basic defensive.
The best time they done it was against Motherwell at home in the first half. Every time they lost it, Christie, bang, got the ball back. Yep, 1-4-1. It plays a massive part now in football, I think, off the ball.
See, yesterday, right? We've all been there where a manager's been under pressure and the team's not playing well, but the manager's obviously going to take the majority of the brunt of it. You've spoken about sort of basic errors. I've no doubt in my mind whatsoever that, the likes of Christie, I don't know if you heard Christie's interview after the game.
Yeah.
The contrast of that between his interview after the Scotland game, how deflated he sounds. Lenny's interview, how deflated he sounds. The likes of the players and Christie, top players will be sitting in their house at night thinking, I'm letting myself down. I'm letting everybody down. And albeit Neil Lennon's going to be taking the brunt of it. What happened after the game outside the stadium? I can't believe that. Regardless of winning two games in 10, I couldn't believe that was the scene.
But see, for you, so who's to blame? Is it the players? Are the players playing for the manager, do you think?
I've for me, right, I don't know if he's agree with me or no. I've never bought into that because I have never went into a game of football not getting 100%, no matter whoever's in the fucking dugout behind me. Because if you were my manager the morning, I hated you. I still want to win a game of football if I'm picked to play.
You're doing it for yourself, always.
And see if you don't like Neil Lennon, for example, and a new manager comes in and he watches your last 10 performances and you've been shite, what's he going to do? He's going to put you in the fucking bench.
I know.
So I've never really bought into the fact that they're no playing for the manager. I've disliked managers in the past, but if I'm picked to play, I'm doing everything I can to win. I'm doing everything to show that I deserve to be in the team, that I'm a good player.
So why are these players who have played well before not playing well?
I don't know if it's just pressure, right? Because you're talking about new fans in the stadium. Tell me if Celtic players are not feeling pressure when they're going home and they're fucking seeing social media and Celtic fans are coming up to them in the street and they're surrounding their motors, they still feel the pressure regardless of fans in the stadium.
Yeah. So I know, because the thing is, they're passing the ball at the pitch when they've been out. That's pressure. That's no no
that's pressure leads to confidence.
Your knees are under a lot of pressure, so
you're absolutely right. Pressure leads to confidence, and when the confidence goes sigh, you can keep trying all the things in the world, but see, when they don't come off, it's a difficult, horrible place to be in. I would no doubt imagine that the two of you, including myself, have been in that situation where no matter what you fucking do, no matter how hard you try, nothing goes right. And sometimes you end up trying that wee bit harder when really everybody, the old saying is, just get back to basics. I think that's where Celtic's at now. I think, like, Scott Brown, how many years has he been at the football club, passes about the park and then falls on his arse? That's no Scott Brown.
See last season, right, the amount of times I've had the question what happened to Rangers after January, sometimes you just can't fucking answer.
Don't know how.
Do you know what I mean? And I've no doubt Celtic players will think the same now. Like, why has nothing gone right for us? And the only thing, just something needs to spark for Celtic's point of view, just needs to spark a turnaround, whether it's going to batter St Johnstone 5-0, 6-0, it's just a last minute winner even, because sometimes a last minute winner just sort of galvanises you and think, like, could this be a turning point to kick on the season? That's why, like, see AC Milan on Thursday, it's a dead rubber, but it's still a big game. Because see, if you go and get beat 3-4-0 again, then you're dealing with the same stuff again for the next week.
Like, we can blame the players as well, but management, coaching staff, they need to take some blame as well. I mean, the amount of set pieces that Celtic have conceded for this year is embarrassing. That's not just this year, over the course of 2 years.
I just think that, like, an example you talked just before we come on the show, the second goal goes in and Lenny goes to look at a laptop. I see, that was me. I'd be on that fucking touchline absolutely bawling at players to say, what's going on? Worry about the laptop afterwards. Have the inquest afterwards when you get a chance to sit down and look at how it developed, how it ended up in the back of the net. No there and then, that looks like, all right, okay. Get out on that touchline, drag players and say, yeah, what's going on, brothers? I just think, every time the camera spins to the doggy, all you see them just sitting there like that with the knees up, and I'm thinking, come on, you're needing a wee bit more. The players need to see yous giving some. I just think it just seems like there's something creeped into the football club at the minute, and it needs to fucking disappear again, because it's a bad vibe, and whatever that bad vibe is, whether it be the players or whether it be the manager or whether it be the coaching staff or whether they don't mix, whatever it is, it needs ironed out. I did hear that Lenny says they've had a psychologist in and stuff like that. I think it's the same one that Slaney's had. It's no working.
See, that always worries me. I'm always going through my own experiences. See, when clubs bring in psychologists, it never really works.
Howard Wilson did it at Sunderland. We had 12 games to go, put the teams down that we were playing against and ticked off each one and said, right, we could get 3 points off them possibly. Nah, 1 point. Nah, that'll be enough to keep us up. Then in 1-1, we were going to see a psychologist. I'm sitting there thinking, why the fuck am I speaking to somebody about football? Like, I'm just no playing well. I don't need to speak to a psychologist. What I need to do is go into training ground and start working on things, get my head right, and just keep football's repetitive. Keep doing the same things and keep working on it. Eventually it'll come back to you, and then hopefully things will get better. But whereas when you start bringing a psychologist, this is a club that's won 9 titles in a row. They were undefeated 3 or 4 seasons ago. They've won every domestic trophy or whatever it is that's going for the last 3 years, 4 years, whatever. What's happened? Why all of a sudden is a psychologist need to come in? What's happened is that you've started losing a couple of games. Deal with it. You've all football players. You've all just haven't played for Celtic. You've all at some point have lost games and had to deal with it. Why don't they just deal with it now? I can't figure it out.
Have you been in somewhere that brought a psychologist in?
A couple of places, and it's always more like optional if you feel as if you need it. And it's not my place to say, what the fuck are you talking to a psychologist for? But just because it was optional, I've never personally felt the need to use it, because some people just deal with stuff their own way.
Yeah. Like,
see, generally, I've told you this before, see when I lose a game of football, I just don't talk to anyone. That's my way of dealing with it. I don't like talking about the game, like after the game, whether it's, you know, my family, my missus, my mates. Like, I just don't like talking about it. I'd rather just try and forget about it, and then see when the next day comes and I'm in training, I try and galvanise everybody else. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way I've always tried to deal with it. But Celtic never, even though they were still sort of getting results last season for the first 6 months, they weren't playing well.
Until January.
And then up to January, they did go into another gear, and that's when the run kicked on. So there's nothing to say that they can't do it again, but it needs to change quicker. I can't wait till January, they know. Like, the performances, they
You're asking Celtic to turn on a performance like that does that happen in football? It's very hard sometimes when you're probably where they are feeling at this moment in time, just to flick a switch and turn on a performance. It's very, very difficult. So
I think if you get out on the training ground and work on your weaknesses, I think that's what Celtic have not got better at. They've not been able to defend all season. They still can't.
Defending
only gets better on the training ground. Rangers have showed that. Rangers were terrible defensively last year. It's not just happened that they're better. Yep. They've spent years on the training ground working on it.
I would see another thing for the Neil Ennis' point of view is he's changed personnel defensively, he's changed shape defensively, and they're still leading goals.
Yeah.
So I'd go as far as saying he's actually tried to change that in a way. I do agree with you though, they're still making set pieces, for example, basic errors, but he's actually tried to change it a little bit to see if it works.
Not a man, Mark.
Yep. But again, yesterday, the first goal's really poor yesterday. I know the second goal's poor as well because it's a set piece, but I mean, the boy literally just knocks the ball down the line and just gets in the byline and puts a cross into the box. And I generally was shocked yesterday watching the game because, like I said, if any Old Firm team goes 1-0 down, we still 55 minutes to play. You know, there's a period in the game where they're just going to be battering the other team with chances. You always expect them to get a goal back. That never really came.
No, you never felt that yesterday. Obviously, the scenes outside the stadium, Kev, what do you make it?
Sometimes you've got to look at that and think, right, really? Come on, am I really going up to a stadium at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever it is, on a Sunday night to rip down buyers and chuck things at people in their cars while they're... I just find it like... I don't know who it was or the age groups of it, but see if it is the younger ones that are going up and doing that, they've probably only witnessed Celtic winning for the last 9 years, whatever it is. It's just been success. This is the first time where they've been knocked out of a cup domestically in how many years? Four years, whatever. Yeah. So that's the first defeat. I think there's only the second defeat this year.
Domestically.
So my goodness, man, what happens if it was a proper crisis or the old, when the days before Fergus McCann and things like that come in, or look at Rangers, for example, what they've went through. Imagine that happened in outside. I mean, come on, let's put things into perspective. It's a couple of defeats. Celtic's not playing particularly well, but there's a hell of a lot of games to go to try and turn things around. What those fans are doing, what are they going, how does that look to everybody on the outside? Who's going to watch that as a manager thinking, I want the Celtic job if it comes available? They're thinking, geez, oh, maybe just sit back a minute here, because if I don't get a couple of results, that's going to happen to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people shouted for Eddie Howe. If Eddie Howe watches that, mate, he's shit.
Eddie Howe shits himself at the best of things.
He's had 13,000 fans at Bournemouth, mate.
Exactly.
It's more noise than Mitchell Street Library. He looks at that, mate. I don't think he's the type that can deal with that sort of pressure. I think Lenny is the type that can. He's probably the only one that can deal with that sort of pressure.
Aye.
Have you seen anything like that before?
No, I've not. See, generally, right, the way I see it is, right, speaking sense, Neil Lennon was basically born the other side of the road for me. He's been born into a green
family. This is going to be good, I can tell.
No, but he's born into a green family, right?
You've said this.
An affiliation with the fans, as a player, as a coach, basically his full life. He's as big a Celtic fan as you're going to get at the club than now, including players. I've no doubt he's probably hurt an equal amount as anybody, probably more than some of the fans that were standing outside that stadium. I just don't think that's how you treat a Celtic legend. I really don't. And see if it was the other side of the road, and that was Barry Ferguson, who was a Rangers manager, or a John Gregg, or Alan McCoyston, who was a Rangers manager. That's not happening. I just don't think that's happening. And see when Steven Gerrard get knocked out against Aberdeen in the Cup semi last year, or get beat at home to Hamilton, and the league was basically done, and they were out the Cups. That never happened.
Was there never any fans at Ibrox last year?
No, especially no with Essenes throwing things at motors and smashing down barricades. What are you getting for that? By the way, seeing a daft cliche, I know, like, the fact is, it's actually a lockdown, so they're actually making it. But the way I see it is, this is the fucking 21st century, man. See when people go on social media and see 20 people at Celtic Park, they're all like, nah, Momo, go down. And that's obviously how for the start of the game, I think there was supposed to be like sort of, you know, there was a banners the other day, there's 20, 30 people outside the stadium. Then after the game, there was obviously a few hundred. That's just what social media does now. And it's that sort of like mob mentality in it when you see like a big crowd gather somewhere, a moment will go. Yeah. But Neil Lennon will be, you'll be gutted. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And Celtic fans are venting their frustrations, in my opinion, the wrong way.
Like, I understand your frustrations. Like, we can't really comment for these people because they pay money that we didn't pay.
Yeah.
They spend all their wages going away, but there's a way to do it, like you're saying.
I'm generally not trying to wind anyone up. This was Celtic fans tell me 2 weeks ago that they're not worried. But now 2 weeks ago, the players are spineless and cowards and get to fuck at the club and all that. Like, just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, then like Lenny came to Celtic for Leicester in the Premier League. He was playing the Premier League every year. He signed for Celtic when he knew his family back home, his family here would take abuse. He had a horrible time as a manager and a player. I don't think he deserves to be called some of the names he's been called. But I need to say, I do think it's time that there's a change, because I just don't think that you can be successful in this sort of atmosphere.
The thing is, Simon, as all the old cliche we say is, they always just get rid of the manager because you can't get rid of 20, 24 squad players. Something somewhere needs to give. And like I say, you can't get rid of all those players, so it probably has to be Neil Lennon. I don't like to say that, because what you've just said and what you've just said is, he doesn't deserve that. He's trying his best to try and get the best for
him. He's not trying to lose games.
He's not trying to lose games. But again, go back to a point earlier, a manager coming in to see the performances of some of the players that are out there now would be thinking, they're no fucking playing. And are they all of a sudden got to just turn and switch? Like Andy says at the beginning, it's great being in a team and you always want to win as a team. But first and foremost, you try and do well for yourself. If you're doing well, the team does well. If some of the boys in the team only perform well, as long as you're doing your bit, it tries and helps the other ones perform well. Whereas I don't think, to me it looks like, and I've been in dressing rooms where this has happened, groups start to whisper, that I used to call them the whisperers, and the foreigners were talking their language. We hadn't a fucking clue what they were saying, but you knew they were talking about you. And then there was another group. Maybe that's what's sitting at Celtic at the moment, and there's a lot of talking going on behind the scenes, and some might know like Lennon, some might love Neil Lennon, and it's just clashing, and it's just no happening. So what you do is you remove the middleman and get somebody in that tries and galvanises what's in that dressing room at this moment in time, because they've not become bad players overnight. They've just kind of lost their way on how to continue winning the way they were.
What would you keep Neil Lennon if you were Celtic?
Well, I said it's no matter. I'll never do that in this show. It's not my place to say, you know, somebody should lose their job or, you know, somebody else should come in. First and foremost, I wouldn't speak about anybody like that. And plus, I'm still a player. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult for me to talk that way. I just think with the quality Celtic have got, what they've done over the last 3-4 seasons, what Neil Lennon's done as a manager since he's came in as well, they will feel as if they can turn it. But what I will say is their performances need to turn on Saturday. And whether that's a change of personnel in the team, a change of manager, a change of style, I don't know. It's not for me to say, but their performances need to turn quick, because I just don't see Rangers slipping up anytime soon.
No.
And that's it, because they can't hope for Rangers to drop points, because the way Rangers are playing now, I can't see it happening anytime soon.
But in this sort of environment, it's just going to be so hard to get results. You know, you're one game away from another, right?
Simon, if you were to get, just for example, say, I don't think you should go or whatever. I don't want to say you should be sat there.
Yeah.
But say they do get rid of Neil Lennon, who did they bring in? And does that manager get that effect straight away? See, he doesn't get that effect straight away, and it takes 2 or 3 games to get up to whatever speed he wants them at or results based. They then fall further and further behind the Rangers, whereas they now, I know it's 11 points, there's a couple of games in hand. If they were to win their 2 games in hand, we're down to 5 points. They're still 3 old firm games. But the situation they're in now with how bad they're playing, you can't actually see them getting those games in hand and getting caught. A bit like the Rangers situation last year, where they always had that game in hand. If they could win that game in hand, they would go top of the league. But they never ever got to play the game in hand that got them top of the league. And I think that's just, for me, it's a difficult one. I wouldn't like to be the guy making the decisions, but something needs to change, whether it's on the training field, whether it's Lenny bringing somebody maybe to help him, somebody a wee bit more experienced, because ultimately, he's never brought in his backroom staff. Who was he? Was it the boy Gary Parker?
Gary Parker, I think.
That was his. He's no in there. So does Lenny get an opportunity to maybe bring somebody in to help, or do the Celtic board decide, look, Neil, enough's enough. Thanks very much for your service. We're going to bring somebody else and go down a different direction. Who knows what's going to happen?
I actually think they need a performance every bit as much as they need the result.
The result, yeah,
obviously, the result's important, but I think they need to go and
but if you're not
find
getting
real
that, how long do you keep going? They've not had a performance.
Well, what's your take? What do you think?
I think for the best for everyone, for Lenny, the club, it would be to go somewhere now. Because as I said, it doesn't look like the players are happy on the pitch. It doesn't look like the staff are happy on the side. The fans are clearly not happy. And I just kind of see them getting the results that they need to win the league. So you need to get that's all they're in for this year, is to try and win the league. And if you need to get yourself the best possible
chance. I know, everybody will say it.
They must think, what must Lenny be going home thinking? Do you know what I mean? How can he be enjoying his life? Like you said, he's not trying to lose football games. He'll be trying his hardest, but it just isn't working.
No.
It's a difficult situation as well for the players because all they've known is success.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now the end of that, and it just doesn't look like, I don't know, like when you play for Rangers, you being a Rangers player, you know what it means as a fan, as a player, for the club, everything. Sometimes when you've got players in that maybe don't get it, when things become a wee bit difficult, there could be some that could easily say, I'm not really giving a fuck, I'm still getting my wages and I'll do what I do. I'm not saying that's what's happening. But when you're a Celtic fan and it means something, you maybe try that wee bit harder. You maybe try and get your teammates to try and go that extra yard. Whereas I don't think anybody has. Like yesterday was a massive game to win and they've got players sitting on the bench that should be playing. And I just think that that for me would look to say, like, Lenny, you've not picked the best team to beat Ross County regardless.
He's picked a team good enough to beat
Ross County. Picked a good team good enough, but is it the best 11? I don't think. And then defensively, I would just be taking away those back four, back five, all of them, and working on the same things constantly because the goals are being leaked up far too easy.
I've no doubt Celtic players will, but they'll be sitting thinking, like, how can we know they ain't right there now? Yeah. I've been there myself, where you've been flying and then next thing you know, you've not won a game in 3-4 weeks. You're like, what's changed? Like, you kind of put your finger on it. So
for me, it's just intensity. I see it all the time. It's how when Rangers attack, right? Watch it at Falkirk game yesterday. Their midfielders are slipping in fullbacks in behind the back, like Falkirk's back line. Tavernier's on. Celtic's like just going. It's just obvious. And there's no penetration. There's no like. They're crossing balls for 30 yards. They should be crossing the byline. We should have people overlapping. Things should be coming in. Like one of the guys used to always say,
should that not be practiced on the training ground?
It should be, aye, but you can practice it all you want, but see if the players aren't going to do it. Make teams defend. I don't think Celtic make teams defend enough. I think it's pretty straightforward that teams get sat in and they just move with the ball. And it's easy to defend, whereas Celtic's just the intensity is just not there. It gets slowed down to a point that allows teams to defend easier against Celtic. That's my take on it.
All right. If it does happen, need to seek a new manager. Who's the short-term fixes? Going to need to be a guy that's got a bit about him.
Slaney, I think.
imagine oh my God, man, that would be unreal, wouldn't it?
He's been trying to get in there for fucking years.
Oh, man. Who else, Jank? That's the thing as well. Like, you need to be careful what you wish for.
Somebody said to me last night, they're not needing a Celtic man anymore. They're needing somebody a tactician who can get them playing nice, attractive football and get. And I thought, that's fair enough. But who's out there that could just come into Celtic? I know they're saying Eddie Howe, but let's get this right here. Eddie Howe relegated Bournemouth.
Yeah, his transfer record last year
was terrible. The minute he got under pressure, he folded like a deck of cards. Right, I ken it, you ken it, Patsy kens it, right? Had to get that one anyway. So,
my dad wants his joke by me.
So my point is that Eddie Howe, for me, is no, doesn't put shivers down my spine.
Maybe these players maybe didn't need the shiver down the spine. Maybe they react more to a tactical manager.
Possibly, but then what about the ones that they like the other side of it? It's a balance. Yep. Do you bring in an old Celtic manager that maybe like a Martin O'Neill who's available? Do you bring in somebody like him who been there, tried and tested? Yeah. That's not going to work. So who else out there really? Pochettino? Think he's going to come to Celtic? Not a chance.
See, the thing is though, like you just said, Martin O'Neill's not the answer, right? Whether I think he is or no, I'm no bothered. But that's what Celtic fans want. That's what some Celtic fans want. Yep. They want O'Neill in and out, or a Martin O'Neill in, or a Gordon Strachan in. So see, every football fan's got their opinion
yeah.
and they're all different than it. So it's not as if somebody can pinpoint an answer and say, get Neil Lennon out, get this guy in, he's the answer. Because you don't know.
Yeah. One guy I know would be a good short-term fix would be Decanio, mate.
Think so.
Summer 100%. No long-term, but a short-term. He would love it, mate. See all that pressure on that, he wouldn't bother him.
See generally, he'd be in the riots, mate. I would love... I just want him to get a job somewhere. Uh-huh. Like I would love to see back in like the Prem or the SPL. Somewhere you can watch him every week.
So I see how you obviously your point before you said the Canio, and you said about maybe they need somebody who can get them playing nice, attractive football. You've obviously talked about the Canio loads of times. The Canio can do both,
Yeah.
Be that fiery animal.
Yeah.
But also be that guy that tactically, because I think they're needing somebody with the both.
That's what he's got, mate.
And I think,
see that, like, see that's making same mistakes over and over again, mate. He'd have you on the training ground for 5 hours until it was better. And I think that's what this team needs. He wouldn't have left Lennoxtown until it was the way he wanted it, mate. We'd still be sitting there at 4:30 some days, mate, watching videos and that, this isn't going to be done right, we need to go and do it again. And I think when you watch Celtic, especially defending, mate, he's massive on not having the ball. I think that's what Celtic need. Again, as I say, you like him, see, for the first 6 months, mate, you love him because he's funny, charming, enthusiastic, knows the game inside out. It's just whether the players could accept, like seeing Cham jogging back for that third goal in Europe, mate, he'd be pinned up against the wall.
Yeah.
So it's whether
he can handle it
or not, whether he's changed for being like that. Do you know what I mean?
What a plug. You got, has he already contacted you if he gets the job you're in?
I've got an assistant manager, I feel like, too, mate.
We're losing him.
What have we got next? Rangers as well. Rangers must be confident to win the league now, Andy.
Aye. I think they've probably quietly been confident, but I did say to you after the last Old Firm game, it's important that Rangers don't get carried away this year, because there maybe was a bit of that after, you know, the January Old Firm game last year. Was it the end of December Old Firm game last year? So I think it's important they guard against complacency and just keep doing what they're doing, because I know it's only Falkirk, right?
You're saying that, but you've got that 55 tattoo in your arm.
I know it's Falkirk, but 7 changes again yesterday. Somebody comes in, does their job. But whether it's, you know, St Johnstone or Benfica or Falkirk, whoever's playing there is playing well. And it's like, I don't think you can sort of point to a Celtic player they're now this season and think they're bang on it this year.
He's been brilliant, yeah.
I don't think you can point to one Rangers player and think he's been shite this year. No. I honestly don't. And I think just whether it's confidence, you know, performances, just there's obviously a stark contrast between the two teams now, but I do feel it's still early in the season and Rangers will know that. But I don't see them losing a game domestically at the time being, just the frame of mind they're in, the place they're in. It's just, again, yesterday, Falkirk, like I've said, how many times have we sat here and said this? They're so much more direct this year and it makes them so much more difficult to play against.
First goal, isn't it?
First goal.
First goal.
And like, people can say that's a long ball. That's not a lot. That's a pass.
Pass, yeah.
But I mean, Connor Goldson looks up and Jermaine Defoe's playing off the back shoulder. And see, after that, see the space that Brandon Barker and Hadji and
because they've tried the defence.
And that are getting in the areas. And then that's when they end up creating the second, the third, the fourth. So
you never see that face, do you? Somebody knocking the ball at their feet and hitting.
I seen it once yesterday. I was about to say that earlier. And it was Scott Brown played it over the top to El Hamed. He literally, all he's got to do is
Edward,
just set it
as well.
He's got to set it into Edward. And he's got a shot 4 yards out of goal. But out with that, you don't really see much direct playing. See, when a team's that organised as Ross County and they're deep and say, right, come break us down, they'd love everything in front of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bassett as well, sorry, Kev. Do you watch the game?
The thing with the Diag for Goldson, when that goes, see that, does they make it to Defoe? See, the boy does header it. Or the Rangers midfield are right up looking for that second ball, whereas Celtic just seem to think that they've got to play this side-to-side passing shit all the time. But Rangers, they've got all kind of like tools on their armoury now. They can do the long pass and they can do the short. They can get it wide. The two wide boys can sometimes come in. I mean, there's like Tavernier, the free kick that they got for the goal they got from the free kick for Barisic. That was Tavernier on the edge of the box, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's up there all the time trying to get... I just think that Rangers are in a place now. And we had this conversation this time last year when we said who was going to win the league, and I said Rangers. You two said you still thought Celtic would win.
All right. Did you say that?
No, this was last year.
Oh, last year,
and
right.
Obviously, last season, and Rangers obviously didn't win it, and Celtic did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think they've learned their lessons from this time round last year. They're now being a bit more, and see what's going on over at Celtic. This is actually helping Rangers because Celtic are hoping that Rangers will drop points, but the way Celtic are performing, they're going to even drop more points. So Rangers probably can afford to have a slip-up every now and then. They're just oozing confidence. And like Andy says, anybody that comes in, comes out, knows the game plan, there's no issues. Nobody comes on the park and doesn't know what they're doing. And that's a sign of a good side, a good squad, because they're all working on the same things.
Do you know what's massive for me this year?
Has Willie.
But you're Willie and your lips. see the January transfer window? I just feel as if it's impossible that Rangers are only going to have some suitors for some of their players.
Yeah. Who do you think? Obviously, Tav.
Mate, Tav scored 14 goals. It's November.
Yeah.
He's right back. I don't. If somebody tells me he scored 8, I don't care. He's right back. Take away his penalties, he still scored 7 goals for right back. And he's in the box all the time, right. And he's got 10 assists. Like, how can a team not be watching that and think?
The Rangers are not selling in January, will they?
Well, that's what I mean. But everybody's got their price, mate. So you never know.
Knowing him, he wouldn't want to go in January either, would he? He'd wait till the summer.
I mean, I'd like to think so. But if somebody and offers you double your money, triple your money, it's you know, some people are going to get their head turned.
Like you done with the radio.
Aye.
Well, I wanted to ask you about, obviously, you're a midfielder at Rangers. Zungu, what do you think?
I'm not seeing a lot, to be honest. He came on for 20 minutes against Hamilton when they were 7-0 up.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think early on in the game, he had a couple of slack moments where he took an extra touch on the ball, sort of got nibbled off him, but he looks big physical presence, yeah. He looks composed on the ball. So I think he'll be a good player. And what I will say is another thing about, you know, Rangers and is the recruitment that Steven Gerrard and Ross Wilson has done. So no matter who they're signing now, you've got to back the belief that this guy could be a good. But you touched on Bassey. They got Bassey for
free
transfer. Now he's 19-year-old. You can see he's got big potential there.
He's
19. He's 19. Aye, 19. Maybe 20. Maybe 26. I don't know. But they've bought in players that they look as if they're sellable assets. You just hope that they don't get rid of them in January, basically.
I feel it.
Kamara will be another one, Kev, won't he? Kamara.
Mate, Glenn,
he's a European sort of type player.
He's the guy that might not play every week, but when it comes to a big game on a Tuesday, Thursday night in Europa League, he's in. He's one of the first names on the sheet. Rangers, to me, are buying in quality players, but making sure that when they players they bring in, they fit into the way Rangers play. Rangers don't change to fit them in. They come in to fit the way Rangers play, and I think that's the sign of a team that's, like, it's been a long process for Gerrard to try and get to this position that he's in, but it's like the Celtic process. It kind of just change that. It's going to take time. And I just think that Rangers, like, they're strong favourites to win the league, and that's...
quite a lot of people saying that Celtic's transfer policy wasn't good, but they're telling me that if you got offered Shane Duffy at the start of the season...
Definitely.
It's a no-brainer, you would have took him.
Definitely.
Turnbull would have been the same. Maybe you're only quite... you would have took him. He scored goals in the Champions League with Basel.
Aye. No, I agree with you. You get that all the time, though. It starts the way when they sign them. Oh my God, what a signing. It's the best signing ever. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, just hopeless, can't play for the club.
Only one would be the goal.
And I have this debate with people all the time. Like, I'm not going to disrespect anyone, but like, if you watch somebody that's absolutely flying at a Livy or a Hearts or a Hibs or a Kilmarnock, and people say, oh, Rangers have got to sign them, Celtic have got to sign them. It's a completely different ballgame playing for Rangers and Celtic. And it is. And especially at the back, because you're not defending the edge of the box, you're defending the halfway line.
100%.
It's just a completely different game. And some of these players, they deserve a chance, but players get judged on their performances. It's no how much they get paid for.
You're talking about Duffy, right? Playing with Brighton in the Premier League, no expected to do a great lot, just try and survive. So he knows his role there. Is there a lot of pressure on that role? Possibly not. Try to keep Celtic clean sheets every week to try and win a 10th title role, that's pressure.
Yeah.
Something maybe he's never came across in his career. There's a difference. It's a massive difference. And for me, maybe that's where some people have been fine wanting this season.
People be laughing at me saying this, but I still think Duffy will be a good signing for Celtic.
I probably will in time. It might just take time, though. But he's maybe not going to get the time.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
All right, we'll see. Andy, Hearts at the weekend. Sorry, mate.
No,
somebody's put on the sheet here, wasn't it?
But see, no, it's like you said, though, like, Saturday hurt. Definitely hurt. Like, that was a game where I went home and I'm not speaking to anyone. I can't speak to anyone because, you know, it's a real opportunity to miss to get to a quarter final. And with all due respect, see when you see that Aberdeen get knocked out, Celtic get knocked out, it makes it worse because you think you've got a real chance again to get to another cup.
St Johnstone, Dunfermline, Hibs, Livy, St Mirren, Ross County.
Aye. So number one, you let's be honest, you're put into probably the top 3-4 favourites to win the cup. Number two, you see the draw and Hibs at home, so you miss it in an Edinburgh derby. Yeah. So it's like that one hurt all the players. We obviously had a good chat about it the next day. But
what went wrong?
Well, it's like I said to Kev before the show started, there's been games where we've came off right and we've won, but we've been disappointed. We've had meetings about how we feel as if we can get better and whatnot. If that game gets panned out the way it does again, you win that game 5-1, yeah. You win it 6-1. And it was just, although I do feel we should be better, we should be getting better, on the basis of chances, the fact that we didn't win the game, and all credit to Alawick, is we played them on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, midweek, beat them 3-0. We created more chances at the weekend, yeah. And just couldn't score, but all credit to Alawick, but that one stung, probably is going to sting for a bit.
Have you had a cup shot, Kev? We got beat off Macclesfield in the FA Cup. De Canio had us in at 6 in the morning, eh? Mate, video starting at 6, so you had to be at half 5. Remember my alarm going off at 5 o'clock in the morning, mate?
How much do you dread video analysis, mate, after a bad game or a bad performance?
And he just tutted, dinged through the whole game. Mate, we watched the full game, right? Sun was coming up, and then after that, we then watched individual clips after the game. So, mate, we were sitting there for about 2.5 hours.
How did you play?
Shite.
Aye, so much worse, innit?
I was a captain, my first day captain as well, and he fucking slaughtered us, man. Never again will you be captain. Some man, honestly. You had a cup shock?
Probably two. Sunderland versus Brentford. I think we were Premiership at the time. We played Brentford. I think they might have been like League One. Uh-huh. And they beat us, didn't they, their ground, and then probably for Rangers.
But to be fair, Griffin Park's horrible.
I got away with that one because that was my first game back after being injured for 18 months. So when we did video analysis, yous were all shite today. Mick McCarthy was going through us like a ton of bricks. Yous were all shite. He'll get away with it because he's no kicked the ball for 18 months. So he's got a pass. They see the rest of you. So I kind of got away with it, but it was never a good feeling. And then the other one, I don't know if I can say it was a shock. It was Rangers versus Queen of the South midweek. Queen of the South beat us in the cup. Although we were third division, we still had a squad that should have been beating Queen
of the
South.
Was that 3-0?
I don't know.
I remember being off. Off Queen of the South 3-0.
I got sent off.
Oh, was that game?
I came on as a sub and got sent off. So we got a fair bit of stick for that one. On you go, and that's fine.
What's the worst stadium you've played at?
Oh,
I don't know if you've played it right. Rotherham's old stadium.
Yes. It's fucking miles from the pitch.
Shocking, aye.
What about Brighton's old stadium?
Oh, but how bad is Brighton's old
stadium? Oh, my God. A new stadium.
Brighton one with an old running track round. Miles away. Oh, my God. No, I would say Rotherham because you got changed.
Changing at school, mate.
Quarter cupboard or something. Fucking horrific.
And then Hartlepool's the same.
Hartlepool's isn't that bad.
Hartlepool's alright. So
I know, but it's not that bad. What about Scotland, mate? Fraserburgh, by the way.
Oh, Fraserburgh! I've spoken about it before. Fraserburgh.
I swear to God, right? You'd go for a throw-in, you'd be doing a Holy Communion 10 yards off the pitch. There's a church. I kid you not, about that much off the touchline. It is an absolute embarrassment.
What's that place?
See, if you get a shoulder badge, you're dead today.
Place where the water comes over when you take a throw-in, the water comes over.
Arbroath now.
Arbroath.
Arbroath.
Cardiff's old.
Cardiff. Ninian Park.
I remember playing there when they had the cages still up.
The cages, I remember it. Yeah.
Never played there.
Ackett Stanley's the worst. Ackett Stanley's got a dog shot on the pitch, mate. Guys walking their dog around the pitch.
Don't get me wrong, Rochdale, Scotland.
Oh, Rochdale's up there.
It's fucking right up there.
Macclesfield, you ever played there?
I think I probably did, aye. Oh. I've actually got a Macclesfield goalie top. Brown, who was the Brown that played a Macclesfield goalkeeper? Jason Brown, maybe.
Don't know. What about best?
Best stadium?
One that when you were playing, you thought, this is amazing. I loved St Mary's, Southampton. You play there?
Aye.
I loved St Mary's.
See, mine's would be more, to be honest, mine's would be more like a traditional stadium.
Fratton Park. Tell me you've played at Fratton Park.
Aye, I have. Fratton Park's good, but generally, I'm not just saying this to suck up their ass. I love Tynecastle, mate. I honestly do. Tynecastle's brilliant. See, because it's like right on top, wait, it's good atmosphere. The fans are like 2 yards for you. Tynecastle's brilliant. In England, though, Sheffield Wednesday's brilliant.
I would say either Hillsborough or Villa Park.
Villa
Park, the site. It's not how when you like ping boss teaching on a sideways with your half time or warming up.
Yeah, yeah.
You physically can you kick the ball through one touchline, the sideline to the other one that's that fucking wide. I swear to God, you look and it's like, goes up on a hill and you cannot ping the ball through. It's as wide as it is long. Unbelievable. And in Hillsborough, just because of. Like, it's an old stadium, but it still has that big, massive stand.
You're away fans behind the goal, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
Tell you what I hate, mate, Dens. I was obviously played for Dundee, right? Have you seen the hill at Dens, mate?
What about the hill?
We'd always shoot for Hill's bad, but Dens is worse, mate. Right? We'd always shoot downhill, and I'd always be a sub. So I'd come on with 60 and you're fucking running up, like, sweating your tits off, man, blowing out your hole.
See facilities wise, Leipzig's unbelievable. Leipzig.
What was that? Were Rangers?
Built, aye. Remember I tell you? So we under Warburton, we went for a rough patch in December, dropped so many, like a few points in December, winter break. Mark Warburton's like, we're all thinking, oh, we'll go to America or something, bit of sun training, whatever. We got to Leipzig, snowing right for 3 days. We go to Leipzig, pump phone now. Man, I went for there, it's fucking down there. What a bad shout that is. Going to play in Leipzig, who were top of the Bundesliga at the time. Timo Werner and Poulsen.
Was Werner not playing?
Etihad as well. I played in a Rezi game.
I played with a German team. Who was it? Or was it a Dutch team? Willem II or something?
Willem II, huh?
Played one of the... No, I tell you, it was Schalke. Wow. Played Schalke in a pre-season thing, and it had like a kind of... With the corners all tucked in. It was some atmosphere, but stadium-wise, like Old Trafford, you can never get away from the fact that Old Trafford someplace.
I've never been.
That's amazing.
I've been as a... To watch a game.
The worst one I didn't like was Blackburn Rovers, if I played there.
You would, nah.
Like, that would be the touchline, and that's all you had of grass, and then it was a ditch.
Right.
So you fucking were always doing a ditch. So the guys taking the long throw-ins had to run and then go to a hill and then throw it.
Obviously, Hart's got to put the cut as well, but Aberdeen must be kicking themselves, eh? Beat for St Mirren.
Aye, I know. It was a shock. St Mirren have been toiling as well, and they're getting in. Aberdeen, see, for the last sort of 3-4 years, Aberdeen's record against teams outside Old Firm has been unbelievable.
Especially in Cups.
Especially in Cups as well, aye. So they'll realise that, listen, how many times they've been beat off Celtic in the last... 10 cups, yeah. 12 cups.
This was their chance.
So they'll realise that they've got...
Must be so frustrating for a manager, though, mate. You're flying, right? Aberdeen are... And then your best player in Lewis Ferguson and Ross McCrory can't
play. I know. I'm like... Aberdeen have... They've always got a decent squad, but they've always have, like, sort of 2, 3, 4 really good players that make a difference to them. So, when Derek McKinnon will feel, if you take the players out, they miss Cosgrove at the start of the season. This guy scored 20-plus goals for them for the last two seasons, so...
Ferguson scored a right few goals as well, like up the beginning of the season. So
he's the best player.
You're missing his goals, but they played all right. It's just a mistake for the goalie. But I don't want to go back to Celtic, but that's what Celtic's kind of needing. That lucky goal at the end, just to see a win over the line to give them a commons. Whereas the boy, is it Joe Lewis? He'll be fuming. McInnes will be fuming. But you got to understand, mistakes do happen. St Mirren, that's maybe a kick up their backside that they need to get their season going. But like you say,
they got a good result at Livy last week.
I know, that's two in the bounds, so that can build confidence. Whereas with Aberdeen, you would be thinking, any team that sees Celtic or one of the Old Firm teams getting knocked out of a cup are thinking, we could be that team that gets a trip to a cup final.
Hard to see past Rangers, though, Philly. Like you say, it's going to take favorites. One hell of a performance.
Definitely
the
favourites, I think.
Domestically,
they're going to be the big favourites going into the rest of the cup competition. But, you know, if say they got a Hibs at Easter Road in the cup quarter final. No, it's a difficult game for them, but you know, when it's a neutral venue at Hampden, you're going to fancy Rangers all day long. So it's a big opportunity for them.
That Hampden pitch is big as well.
Oh, it's too big. Oh, too big. God. Bring that right in.
Just on Rangers, Kev. 2-2 draw. Obviously, Gerrard's a bit disappointed being 2 up, but Benfica are a top team. Good performance again for Rangers, wasn't it?
Rangers in Europe.
Just suits them, doesn't it?
I feel like they play with a freedom in Europe where they don't expect too much, and I think the players just kind of seem to buy into it. And the fact that you're disappointed with a 2-2 draw with Benfica, I think they should have won because they had enough quality to see the game out. But 2-2 is still a fantastic result. I think that more or less clinches them being qualified for the next round.
Basically need a point.
Basically need a point, regardless of how other results go as well. But Rangers, you know, I mean, I think their European performances last season and this season is the foundation for how well they're doing in the league. I think that is playing a big part in it.
But they change in Europe as well, don't they?
I know, I mean, they change personnel quite a lot and they change the way they play, but it's as if Steven Gerrard uses it as a free shot to try things, and it seems to work. And I just think that drawing with Benfica and the results last year with Porto and was it Braga?
Braga, yeah. Feyenoord.
I mean, that's Feyenoord. That's impressive.
How far could they go, Andy?
Do you want a big shout?
Go for it. I've said on the radio before, quarter final, semi final.
There you go. I'll be shouting next. That's what I was saying. But I'd say they need to be lucky with the draw.
But I think they could go at least quarterfinals. They went to the last 16 last year. Uh-huh. Obviously got one of the probably toughest draws you could possibly get in Bayer Leverkusen, and I think they're better this year. So it's difficult to say they'll get to a specific round because you don't know who they could end up facing. Teams dropping down for the Champions League. But mate, Benfica spent 100 million. The third highest spenders in Europe this summer. And no, for the, over the piece of the two legs, especially over there, Rangers were a better team.
Yeah. But just you so hard see, to score against Rangers, isn't it? Like, Benfica's second goal's unbelievable. Sometimes you just need to hold your hands up and say that is ridiculous.
Like, you can live with certain things. You could see, especially in the second half, how much quality Benfica had, and see the second goal, like you said, too good, fair play. It's not as if, like, it is basic individual errors. But see, you know what I've noticed as well, like a couple of times in the Falkirk game yesterday, see if Rangers can see that chance, they're berating each other. Yeah. Honestly, they're screaming at each other. Like, they've just got this just ultimate desire to no concede goals. And obviously domestic, they're not conceding much. But the disappointing thing with the Benfica game is they're leading by two goals in both games with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
But let's face it, over the two, you know, at the start of the group stage, you think two games again, Benfica take 2 points all day.
Yeah, could this be a distraction, Kev, going for 10 in a row, Europe?
Nah.
Squad's
big enough to deal with it. The fact that they've nearly qualified, if they get the point in the next game, they can relax for the final game. Send out a squad team, and then usually between Christmas, it's a while before the next round takes on anyway. So, who knows how different? If they end up continuing the way they're performing, and they end up beating Celtic over New Year, they could end up being 14, 15, 16 points clear, and that could be the end of it. You know what I mean? So, I don't think it'll be a distraction, because it would be a distraction if they weren't performing in Europe, but they are performing and they're taking that confidence out of their league form. So, for me, it's more of a positive than a hindrance.
Yeah, okay. The AA have been parked outside the Tony Macaroni, the bus. It's done.
I was surprised. Shocked, don't I?
Yeah, I was, mate. He's done a good job at Lahiri. Top six last year.
I got him up to the SPL top six last year. Struggling the new, but
But you expect him to struggle, mate, don't you?
You expect them to struggle, but you still don't. I don't feel as if they're going to go down.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not as if, like,
they're not in a position that they shouldn't be in.
Exactly. So. I was surprised. Interesting to see now who comes in, whether they get a different bus driver or a manager.
They're looking at a couple of the Parks of Hamilton drivers, aren't they? I think they've got a wee change.
Yeah, the Parks of Hamilton drivers can't be any worse than what's there.
I've heard that Gary Holt proper loves the.
He likes the bus driver.
He must be due.
I love that. No,
we'll get him on.
Must be due a wee cameo next week. The bus driver.
Well, anytime Slaney's now, we just bring him in, can't we? Because they went on and battered there 4-0 in the next game. Can you see Martindale taking the job on, Kev? He's obviously been there for years.
I don't really know too much about the boy Martindale. I didn't even know who he was, to be honest, until I saw his car crash Sky Sports interview.
Oh, did you not like it?
No, not at all. Didn't fill me with confidence, but he went and got a result on Saturday 4-0. So whether he wants the job, I think that'll be his decision. In terms of, if he puts performances in and they get results, then why not? Like I say, I don't really know him. I don't know where he come from or who he is. So, good luck to him. But disappointed to see Gary Holt leave. I'm pretty sure there'll be a job in football somewhere for Holtie, if no.
Yeah, I want to see him
back.
He's
got a job with the boogie bus. The boy Martindale, he'll. I don't know if he wants a job. It didn't come across on his interview that he was desperate to get the job. But only time will tell.
Your old club, Livy, who you want to see in? Goffey, you want Goffey back, didn't you?
Aye. Roberto Landi, Italian master. Get him back, man. What a laugh you'll get, honestly. Talking about Paolo Di Canio, mate.
For Livy? No, you wouldn't say that.
How, though?
You want a bigger job.
Big enough? Kidding, man. Aye, no, Slaney, mate. Just get Slaney
in somewhere. Aye.
What about the boy Hope?
Imagine him as a manager, though. How good would it be?
I just think that surely that's what these clubs need, mate.
Imagine like the publicity that you'd get if you hired Slaney.
Like just the camaraderie, the spirit the boys would have been fucking.
I think he'd do quite well,
Aye, so they are.
But who's going to do the coaching bit?
He'll do it. He loves it, doesn't he?
I know he loves it. He's always fucking wanting to know about drills and everything else, but
I love it when he gets right into his tactics, that year. It's brilliant.
Passionate,
isn't
he?
He
needs to get a qualification first and then just apply, see what happens. Like you say, See if players love you as a manager, they're going to buy into you and they're going to work hard for you. You'll find that with managers that you've came across in your past where you always tried that wee bit harder for ones that you really like, that you always talk about the Cannon in a high regard. You must have loved him.
Yeah.
And you would go that extra yard for it. Not that you wouldn't go extra yard for somebody else, but you just had that wee affection for him. I was the same with Mick McCarthy, Jim Jeffries. Always go an extra yard or two for Jim, but you know what I mean? It's just, that's how things
extra inch for Jim, is it? right, Maradona.
See, the issue with Slaney is with coaching that, though, like, old habits now, like, as a player, he said they like shat at the pressure and that. Look at my days.
I know, he's done this.
Back to old habits again, but
I don't think he could deal with the pressure.
Well, he's hiding under a Celtic bed covers like that, isn't he? Right, Diego, another maverick, Diego Maradona. Do you remember him as a player? You're a bit young, aren't you?
Kidding on. Fucking, no, I didn't even think I was born. When did they stop playing Maradona?
Was it 86 he done that goal? The hand of God, was it 86?
86, the hand of God.
94.
Right, so what was the hand of God?
86.
Yeah.
No, I was born 91, so. No, yeah. But see that Maradona documentary? That's been one of my favourite watches of this year. It's brilliant, man. So good. Oh, you need to watch it.
I'll watch it.
But like, just full of gear for Saturday to Tuesday. Honestly, though, full of gear for 3 days. Smashes on a bin bag, runs in the treadmill, he's the best player on the pitch for a game.
Like, that's the thing, we'll never see characters like that again in football.
No, it's how, man? How could that even happen?
But see some of the videos I'm training on, like fucking Boggs, man. Mate, and he's so good, unbelievable. Yeah.
Do you know one of the hardest things in football is like, you did keep you up with, but see, didn't keep you up with where you continue to keep the ball above your head.
I've seen Gary Lineker's story, do you know that?
He does that without even like trying. Yeah. It's like easy. It's as if like he was obviously born and was gifted with, but then that's not just natural talent. He's obviously had to work with that and make it as good as, because he was unbelievable. His skill, even when he was older, like, and he was this fat wee old guy helping the kids out, he still had all the touches and the skills, and he was not making people left, right and centre. Brilliant, absolutely amazing. What a best ever? I would say so. Definitely.
It's hard for me to say. I never really seen much of him. For me, it's Messi because it's my generation. But you can't argue with the fact he's went to a team like Napoli and took them to 2 Serie A titles. Argentina, won the World Cup with Argentina. When you watch clips and you watch games of some of the stuff he does, it was before his time, because you never seen that really as much back then.
See, what happened with Maradona, and the difference between Maradona and Messi is similar in terms of how they dribble and how they go about things. But back then, when it was proper yellow cards and red cards, he was booted up down the park every match he played. Here in the modern day, if somebody even looks at you, you get a free kick or whatever. So for me, that's the difference, I think, that he was able to do that under that amount of pressure from opponents constantly, and we still be able to perform and do unbelievable things. Whereas with Messi, yeah, they try and kick him, but no, it's blatant as what they did with him.
Who think is the best player of all time? Stevie Fulton?
Obviously me, sorry.
What about the, you're talking about him getting kicked, what about when he started
booting somebody back, mate? He can go, can he?
Was it Bilbao when he just started fucking volleying fuck
knee
it?
Was that him in the Barcelona kit? Aye. When he needs.
Mate, he looks like he can go, doesn't he?
Keep up with that guy with 2 knees, left, right,
and so he did, huh?
I loved Messi's celebration yesterday. See it?
Aye. What about the goal as well?
Aye, it's been beautiful, mate. What a
player. What you think, Sai? You asked us.
I think Maradona's the best ever, mate, huh?
Yeah.
Winning the World Cups.
No, I used to proper argue with John Gregor all the time, right? Because I used to wind him up. I used to just tell him all the time that the era back then was shit. I was like, you just can't play in this era, innit? And I'm saying this to John Gregor, the greatest of them. But I just used to wind him up because he used to bite for fun. So see when he used to talk about, like Puskas and that. I was like, but Gregor, you couldn't run. How could he play in this era? And he's like, couldn't he fucking run, mate?
The only boys used to say that to John Clark as well, but the Osmond Lions, and he'd go off his head.
But what I will say is, right, you see when you do watch old clips, do you think some of the goalies are shite? Like genuinely, like, I know people will be raging, like, oh, this guy fucking was brilliant and all that, but they used to kick about a fucking pigskin ball. Like the ball was like
was a fucking
12 stone. So see, to be fair, I wouldn't fancy putting a corner and kicking one of the fucking balls. But see, I used to wind about all the time, they used to bite like fuck.
See, when you go back to Maradona, obviously when I was at Sunderland the other days, Peter Reid was the manager, and he was obviously he was one of the first people to try and take Maradona out in that famous goal. And like Adrian Heady's assistant, Andy King, and a couple of other, when Reid used to join in and train and try and kick some of the players, they used to say, look, he still thinks he's trying to kick Maradona. Fucking hopeless. But even he used to tell his stories about Maradona and say like he was like one of the best players that he's ever seen.
What a goal that was, eh?
Oh,
Have you ever had a Maradona type personality playing with you?
Aye, Peña, mate.
Oh, Peña, just didn't give a fuck. What a guy, man.
Maverick, the Mexican Gaza, he was killed. But,
did you see him, like, would he come and stink the drink now?
Oh, aye, he'd be humming.
Would he?
Aye, humming.
What would he drink? Peach snaps?
Mad Dog and that.
No, he didn't. What did he drink?
Fuck no.
Skull, Kansas Skull.
Kansas Skull, a couple of chocolate eggs.
Aye, with that, I don't think you'll ever see him at that tape again. The Maradonas, your Gazas and that.
Wait, what else did Penny do? I want to know. Just rough.
I wasn't with him for that long, mate, to be honest.
Do you get a night out?
No, I wasn't there for that long. It's just, it's mere stories that boys have told me and that, but I think everybody knows that he fucking loved the drink.
Yeah.
But, I wouldn't quite say he was Maradona.
What about you, Kev, now?
Sean Thornton, Jeff Whitley.
Said them before, I love a drink.
Loved a drink. Sean Thornton thought he was fucking, like, blingtastic. He thought he was fucking... He got, like, wooden laminate in the floor, and he got the guy to engrave a big circle and put, like, a big star in it and had his initials on it, like, ST.
In his house?
In his house. So you walked in, fucking this big thing, ST, and he did, like, all the fake gold
earrings
and sparkle earrings and ginger hair, but dyed it blonde.
I remember him.
Was stinking a drink every time you come in, man, honking, but again, a very, very good footballer. Jeff Whitley was the same. I think Jeff came out later on in life and issued his problems, but they too liked a Tuesday club. You could always find them regardless every Tuesday.
What you was like if you turned hungover?
I could do it fine, mate. I go for 10k hungover all the time, can you?
Terrible. Terrible.
I did it a few times, but one particular time, man, we'd at Sunderland Training Ground, we had like the pitches were down low, so they had like mounds round them so that nobody could see in. And one time, the gaffer gave us a Wednesday half, and we come in the Thursday, and they started running. I think it was a Sunday. He started running us because we had a bad performance. We were out in the drink. I remember I was like, "Fucking hell, I'm toiling here." So I actually running all the top of the hill, was sick as fuck for about 10 minutes, and waited on them coming back running to join in the queue. Yeah. So he never ever seen that I was out here. And I says, "Look, gaffer, I need to get. I'm not feeling great, but
I could drink on a Saturday. I would drink every go out every Saturday. We were in every day with the canoe.
Aye.
So you'd be in Sunday, and you would run sometimes if you never played well. But I could go out, get steaming, come and hungover and like win the running.
No. See, like, I hate people like you then. Because see that old shout, like, you drank last night? I'm like, aye. You can tell straight if it.
To be fair, you've been on here a few times that I can tell straight away you've been drinking the night before.
A few games, I know.
I used to phone Mick McCarthy late on a Sunday night. So I'd go home to Schnarr maybe on the Saturday after the game, get mad with it Saturday night. And then wake up thinking, fucking hell, I need a cure.
Yeah.
So I just go to the pub on the Sunday and think, I'll just sit in here and chat with the boys. There's a wee chap at the side door because it was before the opening hours. And then again, and you end up in a Sunday session. At some point, I've got to make that call to Mad Mick Gaffer.
I've missed the ferry.
My car's broke down, or my ma's no well, and it's already if I get Monday off. And I used to tell so many fucking lies just to get a Sunday club and then a Monday club, and sometimes it rolled into a Tuesday club, and then Wednesday I was like, alright, I need to fucking sort get myself out here, but the Monday club was the best.
You still talk to Big Gaz McKenzie, eh?
Big boys.
So he does. Ask him this one, right? So this is another Gaz McKenzie story. So when we obviously beat Chelsea with Bradford, the club had paid for us to go to Portugal for 4 days and train. But the manager had already told us, listen, we've got to train, but as soon as training's done, go and have a drink, go and enjoy yourselves. The only thing is you've got a curfew, be back in the hotel for 1 o'clock in the morning, right? So guys had just signed. They'd only been there for like 2-3 weeks or something, and they got to go on the Portugal trip. So I'd obviously knew guys before. Me and guys are roommates, yeah. So the full squad, after every training session, we're going out, we're getting bevved up in the Algarve and that. And me and Gaz have just thought, fuck this, we're not going back to the hotel. So it's rolled in at about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning or something. We've came back, we're walking into the lobby of the hotel. The manager and that are sitting, aren't they, in the reception, just having a pint. So like, oh, fuck's sake. Try to like trap door it, but they've seen us. And they're like, oh, aye, 1 o'clock, aye, we'll see them tomorrow, right, we'll see them tomorrow. So the bus leaves for training at 7:45, right? So we've got up and everybody's boarding the bus. They're like, no, you used to. No. Come on, get off the bus. They're all diving to the state. We had to run for the hotel to the training pitch, and the bus drove alongside us the full way. It was, and I remember Big Gaz, man, asking me, he was soiling. He was next level, man.
Amazing. Right, last few bit, lads. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, have you heard them, actors?
I've heard of Ryan Reynolds, but no Rob McElhenney.
Ryan Reynolds is gorgeous, isn't he?
Ah, he's a
They've taken over as owners of Wrexham.
I know.
He played at Wrexham. There's another place. No. Oof, FA Cup played there.
What the fuck's that all about?
why would you buy Rex?
They're bored, aren't they? The thing that's fucking Monopoly or something.
Aye. And you just know they're no going to any games.
Like, well, who else famous has bought a football called Elton John?
Him that owns in Brighton's a poker player.
Tony Bloom. Yeah, he won his money playing. Alfaya. Michael Jackson will come again.
Michael Jackson. They had the Michael Jackson statue. Statues.
Played there as well, Phil. He played there.
Aye.
What a place, mate. Love it there.
Aye. It's massive pitch as well, innit?
Do you know Kev McDonald? Do you know Kev?
Aye.
Great guy, innit?
Good player, innit?
Kev says he went to a corner one day what's it called again?
Craven Cottage.
And he says, I'm running up to hit a corner. And he says, I looked, there was a guy, a Fulham fan, sitting, reading a book. With a glass of Prosecco.
No chance.
I swear to God, mate. Kev says, I whipped the corner and I looked back down. He took a glass of Mississippi champagne and kept eating. That's fucking unreal, isn't it?
They're away fans sitting with the home fans.
It's not football,
weird
is it?
Stadium
it's not football, is it? Anyone else famous now? Who else do you like?
There must be one in Scotland, though. Must be like an investor or something.
Who bought Livy? Were they famous now? Were they just...
No, just mad fucking... Italian owners, aye, just absolutely miles off it. But don't think they weren't famous anyway.
Who was the man? Well, you had Romanov, didn't you?
I had Romanov, aye.
I'd have loved to have played
him. He was supposed to be mentor.
Jim Jeffrey's stories with the basketball thing is the best ever.
Aye, but
you need to congratulate. Have you heard
that he won the world
basketball championship? He came on for like 10 seconds or number 35.
Romanov, he was just strange. Because
did you ever hear one-on-one conversation with him?
No.
Never?
Like Jim Jeffries, I've told before, Jim would tell me that I wasn't playing because Romanov said so. And in my head, I would hear this vision of the gaffer speaking to Romanov on the phone and Jim just saying, right, okay, I'll tell Kevin he's not playing this weekend. And he was just this wee fucking guy, 5'1", bald out of dress. And you're like, why are we so scared of this wee shite? Nah. You know what I mean? And like,
so what, would he tell the manager not to play you?
Aye, well, that's what Jim tried to tell me one day in a bit of reverse psychology. So I was like, okay, you need to tell me why I should be picking you. But that day he came in, we'd won 10 games on the bounce and he was speaking in Latvian or Russian, whatever it was, no, Latvian, Russian it was, to all of us and telling us why we weren't getting more win bonuses. We'd won 10 games on the bounce, on the 11th game we lost to Celtic 2-1 or something, or 4, I think it was 4-2 or 2-1, I can't remember this. And he says, you're not getting your bonus, you didn't play well against Celtic. You know what I mean? We'd won 30 points out of fucking 33. I think we're sitting second or third in the league, and I was like, and God rest his soul, big Marius, he was trying to translate back to us what he was saying. I thought, still to this day, and Marius is probably taking it to his grave, Marius probably told us a whole load of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's be honest about it. Marius wasn't telling us the truth. But he was a mad...
Does the jet ever get you to talk dirty in Lithuania?
No, I think Billy does that for him.
What about when you're doing? So who's any mad owners doing there now?
No, I was actually just about to say that. See, like, 5 years I was at
Middlesbrough. Oh, Oyston, no?
Oh, aye. What am I talking about? Oyston?
Rob Royston.
What if I go?
He wasn't right, was he?
No, he wasn't right. I stayed in the hotel at the stadium for my 6 months there, and he stayed in the full top floor of that hotel.
He was
a millionaire. He could have had aye, and he would never have that fucking cowboy hat off and do my head in. Just walk about all the time with a cowboy hat.
But the joggies
grow up, man. No, just like flared blue jeans with a cowboy hat.
I had a mad owner
and a lasso.
I had a mad owner at Rangers. Charlie Green.
Was he there at that time? Did you ever meet him, Kev?
He came in. He was the one doing my negotiations, so that says everything. What do you want, Kev? It seems like getting the hearts, Charles. Hey, boy, all right, okay. Bonkers.
See, my 5 years at Middlesbrough, I never met Steve Gibson once. And then,
he's meant to be the top man as well.
Aye, he is supposed to be brilliant. But then at Rangers, 5 years at Rangers, I met Dave King once. You never really see owners anymore.
Where did you meet Dave King?
Walked down the marble staircase after just a certain game. Obviously, he lives in South Africa still, didn't he? So he doesn't really go to every game.
Did you speak to him?
Which I met him once. I just shook his hand, said, all right. And I think it was that, all right. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, cheers. And I was... You never really take any notice on these days. You only seen Oyston just because he just walked about the hotel, and I tell you what though, he had mad parties all the time.
My birds, isn't it?
Like mid-60s or something, he would just have hundreds of birds up in the top floor of the hotel.
Did he never ask you up?
No. What the fuck? Take.
Right, lads. Thanks very much.
No, I mean, what was that?
No, he's not here.
We can't do it.
No,
cheers, lads.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.